Number 482, everyone. 482. Wait. Ready? Okay. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like a sea wave's cold, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the strain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen.
347.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebbs and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every singing as I go. 3, 4, 7. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath the sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face. That is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Number 398. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrow ring glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine, make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. Give as was given to you in your need, love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed, unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Amen. Brother Gene, would you help us with the offering after this next song? Amen. Number 379, Living for Jesus.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thine and Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer His call, follow His leading, and give Him my all. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in His holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, taking each trial as a part of my cross. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little
are my dearest treasure, the light of His smile. Seeking the lost ones, He died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in Him. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
And if you do know it, it's still page 334. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so glad. Family of God, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory. This family so dear, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join tears with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm so of the family of God. Yes, I'm so glad I'm a part of this family of God. I've been washed by his blood. Joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm of the family of God. You want some choruses? Is that what you're looking at me for? Sing a song. 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 Da-da-da-da-da. Let's see what I brought. Let's see what I brought. You know what? While I'm looking for a song, does somebody have a testimony? Who? I know, everybody has a testimony, but who's going to...
I have one.
Okay. Another one. I haven't found the song yet. Somebody else. Nobody else has a testimony? Okay. This will reach. Will this reach around without going over the piano? Or will it? Excuse me a second. I lost the cord. I am at the end. I am at the end. Here, I'm going to give this back to you.
That one works.
We got to try out all the microphones. We got to make sure they're all working, right?
Amen.
Perfect. I didn't hear that. There you go. Different colors. That's not a singing mic. That's a talking mic. Serenaded by angels. Have you ever thought about that? We are going to be serenaded by angels. How many believe that? Or am I talking to the wrong group here? Okay, go ahead. She will go sleep one night never to awake again. But everything was all right between her and him. She awoke in heaven's courtyard, free from pain within. The angels gathered around her and took her by the hand, serenaded by angels up to the throne. Serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. Welcome to paradise, the angels did sing. Now see if you do this, okay? Now I close my eyes at night and try to imagine that city of brilliant light waiting for me. But my mind cannot conceive, so I'll continue to dream till I'm transported there. Then I will be serenaded by angels up to the throne. Think about it. Serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the serenaded by angels up to the throne. Serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to our
for a wonderful song service. That's good. Brother Sam's going to come up here in a moment and preach for us tonight. We're happy to give him the pulpit and hear what God has to say to us through him. The last thing I did before I left the house this evening was to call our daughter and see how she's feeling. That's one of the most heartbreaking things in the world, is to have a daughter, a child, that has cancer. She had her treatment here last Tuesday, and she is so sick. Her body aches all over, her joints, everything. Nausea, the whole thing. And she just feels miserable. And she's only halfway through. Does anybody here know anything about radiation? She's going to have 5 weeks of radiation after the chemotherapy treatments, 5 days a week. Brother Mac, tell us. Yeah. Yeah. But it's really not that bad, huh? All right. Yes, Connie? Yeah. Yeah. That's 25 times, I guess you'll be going 5 days a week for 5 weeks. Yeah. But anyway, this chemotherapy is rough on her. And I've talked to other people. I've talked to some that gave it up. They'd just rather go ahead and suffer the consequences than to have to go through that. It's rough. But anyway, keep Susie in prayer, if you will. I appreciate that. She missed being with us today.
The new radiation out of the they got to fix it where it won't kill the cancer cells. A lot of them used to burn it up and didn't want to fix it. Now they have focused on just the cancer cells. So it came a long way in the last 2 years.
Yeah. All right. Brother Sam, come up and bring us a message from God's Word. Comfort, consolation, encouragement comes from the Lord. I want to see if this works. Pat was worried about it this morning. Seems to be working.
Well, thank you for coming out this evening, and we are the family of God. Amen. We are the family of God. Before we begin this evening, Betsy has a word to say for us tonight.
Girl.
Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we do just come before you. We are in your presence this evening in the precious name of Jesus. And Lord, we want to remember these requests. We do pray for Susie, Lord. We ask you for your hand upon her in every way, Father, your presence and grace and healing upon Susie. And Lord, we do pray for Michael and Summer, especially them who have lost this little girl. And Lord, we pray for Trisha and Aaron too, our granddaughter, and these special people who were involved in the life of Adriana. And Lord, we do thank you that according to your word, we believe that she is in your presence. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles tonight to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote these three little letters, epistles, and of course he wrote the revelation, the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this evening we want to just look at chapter 1 here of 1 John, chapter 1. And we read here, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that ye might have fellowship with us." And we read here then, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things have I written unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Oh, our Father, we come before you this evening with this passage, this wonderful word, and ask for the illuminating power of your Holy Spirit upon us, Lord, as we look into this wonderful word, O Father of John here, and we thank you for that. In this epistle, this letter, we have many things emphasized. We notice, first of all, that the Apostle John, he uses the word "we." That means he includes himself in what he is saying. And then in chapter 2, he used the words "I." He used the "I" and "my little children." Other things in here, we have the emphasis of joy and love, abiding in Christ, abideth in Christ, abideth in life, love, believing, and born of God. We have in this epistle being born of God. And we have the Holy Spirit mentioned. And there are contrasts, light and darkness, love and hate, believeth and believeth not. And this wonderful word, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Isn't that a tremendous thing? God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And so the apostle here is doing that. We also have what we call tenses of the verb. We have past, present, future. We have was. We have is. We have a continual presence. He that continues to practice sin. He that continues to practice. And then we have a future emphasis. So it's very important tonight in our study of this word to notice tenses and how this goes. Now we have in this time, actually, when John was writing this, he warns us about false prophets. He was Antichrist, Antichrist against Christ. And he's warning his children. He uses the word technia, which is my little children. And it's used seven times in this epistle. The Apostle John is the only one who uses this word. My little children, my born ones. And so he is emphasizing this in their relationship to him. But in this time, he's warning them also against false prophets and against cults, false cults. And in this time, there was a cult called Gnosticism. Gnosticism was a group of people who believed that matter was evil, and also that they were superior. They had superior knowledge. There was also a cult called Docetism. And Docetism denying the deity of Christ, denying the humanity of Christ, denying the God-man in Christ Jesus. And so he is warning. And these cults are present today. We have many cults. A while back, a couple of weeks ago, Pat Patterson and I were met at a Denny's, and we met with two guys. And this was a disaster, because they both represented a different cult. And we spent 3 hours with these guys. And one of them spoke Spanish and didn't understand English. And they ended up arguing among themselves. These two guys, for 3 hours we were there. But they were a cult, two cults, and false cults today are denying what we have right here in this epistle. They are denying Christ. And so, but let's look at this first of all here. It says, in this first verse here, that which was from the beginning. Well, we could go back and think about the beginning. That which was from the beginning. And of course, we read even back in Genesis that in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. So in the beginning, in John's gospel, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have even in Mark, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, and so we have the beginning. But the Apostle John is saying that which was from the beginning. Now notice the physical thing here. Notice that what he's speaking about here is that fellowship. His whole purpose here in this letter is fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and joy. Joy. And so, but without the incarnation of Jesus Christ, without the Word become flesh, there is no fellowship with the Father and with the Son. There is no fellowship among believers. There is no family of God apart from the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here he's saying a foundation that Jesus is real, that the Word became flesh. The incarnation is the basis of our fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and joy. And so look at this how he says. Look at this how he says here. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested. And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. The incarnation that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit is the basis of our salvation. It goes on to his death on the cross, yes, but what? But of his incarnation, there is no fellowship, there is no salvation. And so we see that here that in this. And look at what he says then, his purpose. Let me just read another thing about Gnosticism here. Part of the thing of a Gnosticism, that there is no resurrection of the flesh. The ethical standards of many Gnostics were low. So John emphasized the reality of the incarnation and the high ethical standard of the earthly life of Christ. And so that was very necessary here. In one sense, this also, I like to think of this beginning here as a missionary passage. This is a missionary message. Hey, look at this, because the desire of John is that others know about Jesus. You know, the desire of him is that they might have fellowship. And so this is a familiar passage here. But the purpose of fellowship is to reach out to others. You know, fellowship is not just for nurture. It is also to reach out to others with the gospel of Christ, right? And our problem, I confess to you that my problem is to keep from stagnating, as the pastor said this morning. You know, to just settle in my comfort zone. Oh, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. You know, it's so comfortable to just sit where I do my little routine. Very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. The only reason I pass out tracts is because it keeps me on the front line, right? It makes me realize that people don't know Jesus, right? But how difficult for us. You think, what do we do every Sunday? Preaching to the choir, that famous phrase that we're preaching to the choir, you know, and the choir's heard this stuff before. And so how can I stir myself up to go out and reach out? And so here we have here the incarnation of Christ. Notice also that it says here that God is light. This is a message which we have heard of him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We have contrast here with light and darkness. And he says, this is the message that God is light. Here's a little section I got out of the Friends of Israel and the little present magazine, you know, that is called For His Glory. What is the name of it? Pastor.
Israel, my glory.
What I'm going to try to do, I'm going to speak to the pastor on Wednesday. Don't tell him I'm going to do this, okay? But I'm going to ask him that we try to order 15 at least copies of this present issue. It is very, very good because it gives a history of Israel from the beginning and where it fits into the plan of God. Now, they had stacks of them there yesterday, but I didn't figure I could pick up 15 of them. But we're going to order those, and so you can have this and read this issue, the present issue, which is September, October. Excellent. Very, very excellent. And it's talking about this. But here is what I found in there. Light defines and describes God's true nature and symbolizes his purity, his character, and his glory. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that cometh to me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, I'm tired. I don't want to walk in darkness, right? We want to walk in the light, in purity, in holiness. Oh, Lord, give me pure thoughts, pure motives, you know, for his glory. And so here, this is the message here. This is the way that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And notice it says here then, in this chapter. You know what happens here? The wind here keeps blowing this Bible from 2 Peter. But in any case here, okay, this is the message then that we have heard him declare that God is light. If we say, now, Pastor a while back pointed out to us a four or five ifs. If, see? And so we have these ifs here too, and this fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Notice it says here, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Man, this is just examines me. If I say that I'm, that I have fellowship, look at this, koinonia, close fellowship with the Father and with the Son. If I say that I have fellowship him and walk in darkness, I am a liar. I'm a liar. Oh, Lord. Notice also, as I said in the beginning here, we have the matter of the present tense, the present progressive tense. If I am continually walking in the dark, if I am continually practicing sin, I don't know the Lord. Right? I don't know the Lord. But so he says here then, but if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I love this verse. I probably use this verse 5 or 6 times a day. Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Oh, Lord, as I walk in the light, as you are in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanses me from all sin. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, it's a beautiful verse to memorize and to meditate on. But then he goes on and says here, if we say that we have no sin, again, you see, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, of course, if you don't sin, if you aren't a sinner, you don't need a Savior. Right? And one of the things is for the Holy Spirit to convince us and convict us of sin. That we have sinned against God in our thoughts, in our motives, in our actions, in our words. You know, we have sinned against God. And so if we say that we have not sinned, we don't have sin. We are deceive ourselves, and also not only deceive ourselves, but also we are not in the truth. But I love verse 9. If we confess our sins, right? And oh, what a, you know, we are in the family of God. John wants us to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. He wants our lives to be full of joy, right? Full of love, full of joy, walking with the Lord moment by moment, day by day. And he wants us to do that. And so he says, in order to do this, in order to maintain this fellowship with the Father and with the Son, we need to be conscious of sin. You know, it just depends on the person. But the Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And we need to confess that sin. We need to be aware of bitterness and anger and resentment and deadness, you know, and excusing ourselves, I'm just the way that I am that way. That ain't so, you know, we need to be conscious of sin and be willing to have a tender conscience, you know, and to confess sin. Because what a promise, what a blessing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? And we have this privilege. We as believers have the privilege of confessing sin to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Now the one who is not born again of the Spirit of God has yet to recognize that, hey, I have sinned against you, God. I need a Savior. I need to be born again. And that's another phrase in here, born of God. Born of God in this epistle also. So this is a wonderful, wonderful deal here that we have. The privilege of confessing our sins to the Lord. And so we have this, and then this is the way to maintain fellowship. So John is saying, and notice in the beginning there, he says, we identify, we were on with him on the mount, so we have seen the Father, and we, if we confess our sins, John the Apostle, identify himself with these believers that he is writing. If we confess our sins, isn't that wonderful? That John realizes that he has not yet arrived either. But then we come into chapter 2, and he says, my little children. See, now he changes from we to I, and he says, my little technia, my little children. And he repeats this, that I said it 7 times in this epistle, and he's the only one who uses this. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. In other words, I don't want you to have a life of sin, right? And but he realizes this too, that we is what we is, and we still have this tendency to disobey the Lord. We have this tendency to it can happen in a moment, can't it? It can happen in a moment. You know what I do? I come into Target. I go to Target a lot. You know, and I this is my meditation. It happens to be in Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem a better than themselves. And then he goes on and says, he takes the famous kenosis passage, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though in the form of God, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. Being in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Lord, I want to humble myself, right? And so we identify here and we see then that he says that, okay, I write these that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. A paraclete. It's the same word that we have for the Holy Spirit. The promise of the Holy Spirit in John 14, 26, in John 15, 26, and 16, 7, when he promises another helper. He another helper, another cleanser. We have an advocate, and Jesus is our advocate. It's a parakletos. It's the one summed alongside, a helper, that helps us in a lawsuit, and used only by John in the New Testament. Wow. And he says, so Jesus is there as our advocate. He pleads our case before the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He does, as we say, in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. See, he is interceding for us. He is our advocate. He represents us before the Father and with his precious, precious blood. He is the propitiation. It says here, and he is the propitiation. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He not only offers propitiation, he is our atoning sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our atoning sacrifice on Calvary. He is our propitiate. He satisfies the wrath of God against us as sinners. And he offers himself for that. In this particular epistle, let's see if I can remember this. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son that we might live with him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So here, again, propitiation. And that is in order to bring us in fellowship. And he satisfies. Sin interrupts normal relations with God. But he, in his sacrifice and in his atonement, he removes sins and restores that relationship. So what a wonderful thing we have here, where John the Apostle is writing and says, oh, my dear believers, my dear, we don't know whether they were scattered there in the Roman Empire. We don't have a geographical thing here in this particular epistle. But he's writing believers. And he's saying, oh, listen, Jesus is real. Jesus is real. The incarnation is real. That the Word became flesh, though, and that he was born of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. And this incarnation means that he died for us. He entered our humanity. And yet he is the divine Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he is the Son of Man. And because of this, you can have fellowship with the Father, with his Son, and your life will be filled with joy. Isn't that wonderful? Because we are in fellowship. And as the pastor mentioned a while back, by this sacrifice for us, through the sins of the whole world, he's the atoning sacrifice. And as he said, and it was read, that this sacrifice is sufficient to save anyone who believes in Jesus. This atoning sacrifice, this giving his life on the cross of Calvary, is sufficient to save anyone who believes. But it is only efficient to those who are born again of the Spirit of God. And so we do read, don't we? This is the record that God hath given to us, that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye might continue on believing in the Son of God. We have what we call in those verses, in especially verse 13, we have what we call a subjunctive mood. We have present tense, and we have subjunctive. Now, we don't use subjunctive very much in English. We have subjunctive may, would, could, things like that, the subjunctive. But in Latin languages, in Spanish, in Portuguese, in Italian, and so forth, the subjunctive mood is a great big thing, and every ending is different. And it has a declarative sentence, if you wish, I wish that you would. And that next would is a subjunctive. But in this verse, it's interesting. This particular verse in Spanish, you can see it. It has a sabes and sepais. It has the subjunctive. But in our, okay, these things have I written unto you that believe, present tense, in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. There's a subjunctive. Yet you may know that ye have eternal life and that you may continue on believing in the Son of God. And so that's why we say that, yes, a person can have assurance of salvation. Now, if you're of another religion or a cult or whatever, you say that's arrogance. That's arrogance. How can you say that you are saved? You know? And we don't say that we're saved because we're good. We say we're saved because Jesus died for us 100%. Now, we were talking of our friend in Paso Robles, and he likes Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but 10. See, we always, the old navigators, we did 2, 8, and 9, you know? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so should your life be changed? Yes. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, if you're in the family of God, your life should change. There should be evidence of salvation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But you know, and so we do not know those who are born again of the Spirit of God. We have to be very careful. We're not really fruit inspectors. Only the Lord is a fruit inspector, right? And so we don't know. That's why I tell my classes, now I'm going to be teaching cultural anthropology again, right? But I teach my class, this is my escape verse. This is my coward verse. But I like this coward verse. It's 2 Timothy 2:19. And it says, the firm foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and he that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. But ultimately, only the Lord knows that guy's heart. Right? I don't know whether he's a born-again Christian or not. I don't know whether a miracle has happened in his life. I don't know how you pray for your family, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren.
We are praying for miracles, that a sinner is born again, that any of our great-grandkids are born again of the Spirit of God is a miracle. Everything that happens in our life is a miracle of the power and grace of God by the Holy Spirit in our lives. If anybody comes to the Lord Jesus here in this congregation, it is by God's grace, it is by His mercy, and it is a miracle that a sinner becomes a saint. Isn't that true? And a miracle becomes a saint. So we look at this then, and so praise the Lord for all this. And so let's just be conscious, sensitive, you know, and work on this again. I've repeated this. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? I don't always obey this. You know, you think of a little gossip gem. Oh, isn't it nice to gossip? Oh, man, it is so neat. You know, is it true? Yeah. Is it kind or loving? Well, maybe not. Is it necessary? No way. And man, I have actually gotten to that place. Where is it true? Is it kind or loving? Is it necessary? I get there, oh man, but this is so neat, you know. And this, is it necessary? And the Lord says, no way. Meaning, shut up. You know, and so the Lord works in our lives this way. So praise the Lord that, thank you, John, Apostle John, for inviting us for what you have seen and that which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen with your eyes, you know, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Look at that. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Amen. Let's just do this. You know, I think about every time we are in this building, God wants to do a work, even if something that we've heard before. Every time we are here, we are making a decision. Every time we are here, we are saying, yes, Lord, anew, I yield myself to you. Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus. And so let's just have a bow our heads and each one make some kind of decision. Maybe it's a decision of thanking the Lord for fellowship with the Father and with Son. Maybe it's a decision, a thanksgiving for the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe it's a, Lord, again, yes, yes, I want to go for it. I want your will in my life. But let's just bow and everyone have a decision between you and the Lord. Amen. In closing tonight, I'd like to ask Fred to help me here. And turn in your hymn books to number 395. Now, a while back, this was asked for by our dear sister, and we said, we don't know that. You know. And so we thought, well, I mean, we don't know that. And I thought, so what? But what has happened, I am singing this every day, and it is such a blessing to my own heart. And 2 weeks ago, we were up in Paso Robles in the First Baptist Church. And after the fantastic message, this was their invitation hymn. 395. And so we're going to try to do this, but we want you to sing too.
This is old water. This is RC water. Okay, that's fine.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. My King of heaven, my treasure thou art. My King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joyful bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Pastor.
Sam, appreciate that wonderful message tonight. God is so good, and our fellowship in Christ is just the most precious thing that we have on the face of this earth. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer tonight. Remember, Wednesday we'll be studying in Deuteronomy. And we have a visiting preacher with us tonight. Brother Peter, would you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Sure. Holy Father, we thank you for this evening, for the opportunity to come hear your word preached for the South Valley of God. Lord, just have an opportunity. Thank you for the actual blessing and wish we could give again. Thank you for this wonderful music and the time that you've allowed us to come here and fellowship and share together. We ask you to watch over us, Father God.
Amen. Amen.